Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
So at budget time, governments make a virtue of giving you back your own money, telling you how to spend it, but leaving you with the feeling that they could eventually take some of it back. So how do we view budgets? How do we manage the extra money we're given? Professor Pete Lunn, head of the Behavioural Research Unit with the Economic Social Research Institute, joins me now to delve into the nudge theories of the budget. Good morning to you, Pete.
Morning, Claire.
So the recent budget, it was a multi-billion euro giveaway, but many of the measures in the budget were one-off payments, like the double child benefit or the utility subsidies. And when it comes to taking the money back or when the tap is turned off, how will people feel about that?
Yeah, so we respond quite differently to lump sums to how we respond to regular income. So I think people understand that when they've been given a lump sum, there's no absolute guarantee that they'll be given the same kind of, as it were, emergency lump sum next time around. And that's important because people do respond differently to losses and gains. If you give someone an income increase and then you take some of it away, psychologically, that's more painful than the equivalent sort of pleasure, if you like, or benefit that they got in the first place. So it's easier in many ways if you're facing budgetary difficulties to try to resolve them with a lump sum that doesn't come with a guarantee that it'll be repeated. Although, of course, if it's repeated over a number of years, then an expectation does build up. So things like the Christmas bonus, there will be a huge cost to taking those away at this stage. So people respond very differently depending on what their expectation is.
So the government very clearly understands that they're taking a one-off measure. Do we understand that, though? Or do we have an expectation that it'll be repeated?
I think that's going to depend what happens. And I think one of the reasons that the government has used lump sums so extensively in this budget is precisely because of the degree of uncertainty about what's happening over energy prices and the war in Ukraine and inflation generally. So they didn't want to lock in large income increases, which would be difficult for the public purse on an ongoing basis, if it was going to be the case, for example, that energy prices would actually fall in 2023. And, you know, don't trust anyone who tells you that they know for sure what way these kind of commodity prices are going to go. They don't. And one of the reasons, therefore, to go with these lump sums is they are going to be easier to withdraw if the picture looks more rosy next year. I think, however, if we're still facing into another winter with very high energy bills next year, there will be an expectation that similar measures are taken.
And that question that I posed in the beginning about the government basically giving back our own money at budget time, like, are we really any better off today than we were before the budget?
Well, this is a good question. I mean, I think there's a sort of misconception that happens with inflation when inflation is caused by external sources. And there's a kind of simple way to understand it in economic terms. I mean, you know, if energy prices worldwide go up to the degree that they have there, I mean, there's nothing we as a small country can do about that. And they're built into so many products that, you know, they push prices up generally. And the best way to think about that actually is that we've all been made simultaneously poorer. Now, the government can give us money in terms of, you know, one-off payments and increases in welfare payments and tax breaks and so on. But as you rightly say, they're essentially giving us our own money. What they're really doing is they are giving us money from our own future selves or from money that we've managed to save because the public finances are in decent shape. You're absolutely right. It's our own money. The key here, though, is that they also redistribute. So a lot of the lump sum payments are designed to help people on lower incomes get through this winter. And one of the interesting things about this budget, as some of my fellow economists at the SRI have shown, is that once the lump sums are taken out of the equation in kind of permanent income terms, actually it tends to be middle class households that have done slightly better if the lump sums aren't repeated. And it's only once you take the lump sum payments into account, actually, that it's really then that low income households are being kind of strongly helped.
Which tells us that it probably is going to have to be repeated if, as we expect, the prices stay high.
Yeah, it may have to be repeated, yes. Or alternatively, I mean, one could go for a different strategy. I mean, there are some downsides to giving people money in lump sums, which is that people find them somewhat harder to manage. So if you get given a lump sum, it's great in the sense that it's certain, it's a certain amount of money. And a lot of people will take, say, you know, for example, many people are getting about 500 or 700 euros in these lump sums, and that they'll take those and they'll put it aside against energy bills. But others won't. I mean, if people have an outstanding demand for a consumer durable or they just add it to their bank account and let it eat away, some people will manage it better than others. And one of the things we know from behavioral economics is that there's quite a lot of individual differences in how people respond to kind of sudden income changes or lump sums like this, with some people managing them substantially better than others.
So how do people in general tend to view their money? Do they view it in terms of pots for different purposes, or does it all slosh around in one pot, or does that depend on the individual?
Yeah, so I mean, in theory, from an accounting point of view, money is just kind of one pool. You can take it from anywhere and you can use it anywhere. That's its genius. That's how it works. But actually, that's not what people do with it. People engage in what's called mental accounting, to use the jargon from behavioral economics. And what it basically means is, even if we don't have separate physical pots or separate bank accounts, we have separate mental pots. And what we do is, for example, if we get a lump sum of 500 euros that's supposed to help us through the winter, we might put that aside mentally and say, right, I'm not going to touch that because I know that I might get an energy bill that is substantially higher than I'm expecting. There's a lot of uncertainty about that, so I'm going to put it away. So it's there if I need it, and that's what it's for. Now, interestingly, technology is changing the way mental accounting works. So as I said, a lot of that's always been done mentally. Occasionally, people have actually used, you know, literally separate kind of cash pots in the kitchen or separate savings accounts. But one of the things that's happened recently, of course, is digital banking and the ability to really track how you're spending more accurately through apps. And in those apps, you can actually set money aside in different places. So you can sort of engage in the mental accounting. And I mean, I'd actually say that the early evidence on this suggests those apps are really quite beneficial. So if people are thinking about, you know, how am I going to get through this winter? How am I going to make good use of these lump sums I've been given? Those kind of digital banking apps are actually very useful ways of tracking your spending, because generally, we're not actually great at tracking our spending and changing it in response to income changes. We tend actually to control our spending mostly through habit, which means change is usually quite difficult.
Yeah, and we've been talking a lot about, you know, how people will use these lump sums, but actually in real terms, people's income is going to come down over the coming months if it hasn't already. And just going back to what you said a moment ago, how do we cope with that, with incomes adjusting?
Well, the evidence would suggest that different people are going to cope with it in different ways. So the difficulty is that people who are more impulsive or people who are less good at habitually budgeting, the danger for them is that they get these lump sums and they use them too quickly and they don't hold them back. And that's one of the reasons I'm sort of suggesting that if you are one of those people, maybe engaging in one of these digital banking apps and trying to track your spending a little more carefully is probably a good idea this winter. I mean, one of the things that makes it very tricky is the degree of uncertainty. So everybody knows their energy bills are going up, but trying to work out by exactly how much and what they're going to be faced with is much more difficult to do. And most people won't do that. They'll have a kind of estimate of it in their head, and it might not be a particularly good one. So It's like you need to hold something back in terms of insurance. And so, therefore, saving a bit of money now and making sure you've got a little bit more available later in the winter is probably a good strategy. A lot of people will do it, but not everybody. And people who fritter the money away too quickly may find themselves in greater difficulty towards the end of the winter.
Just going back to how we feel about the budget, are we selfish about budgets? Do we really only care about what we're getting ourselves? Or does the research tell you that we expect that a government will look after the most vulnerable?
Well, humans are very complex. So there's always a bit of us that's selfish, and it differs from person to person. But there's always a bit of us who's going to work out, you know, exactly what it means for me and how well have I done. But people care very, very deeply about fairness, about who's getting what. I think there's general agreement when facing this energy crisis that, you know, some redistribution towards lower income households is absolutely essential because they're getting hit harder by it. So I think there's a general agreement about that. And I think people have been very, very sort of perceptive about that and about the need for fairness and a degree of redistribution. So while it is the case that, yes, we are spending our own money on ourselves through the government here, we are redistributing money through these lump sums. As I say, perhaps not on the longer and medium term, we'll see how that goes, but certainly in the short term. And people do genuinely care about fairness at least as much as they care about their own pockets.
Just before we finish, I want to ask you about U-turns and how we feel about U-turns, thinking about what we saw this week, in particular in the UK. Do people think in general terms it's a good sign because they're being listened to? We hear you was the catchphrase used by the British Chancellor. Or do they view it as weak and chaotic?
Well, in general, the research suggests that people like politicians to stick to simple, consistent, clear messages and to keep simple, consistent, clear promises, although we are rather hypocritical in how we respond because we also wish that they would listen more and be more willing to change their mind. So it's quite difficult to judge these things. But what I would absolutely say, particularly in reference to the UK U-turn, is when there is a U-turn on something that somebody has really staked a very large claim in and set their stall out on, and that can do nothing but political damage and damage credibility. So in general, yes, U-turns are damaging, but if it's a U-turn on the scale that we have just seen, it's enormously damaging.
Pete, thank you very much. Professor Pete Lunn, head of the Behavioural Research Unit with the ESRI, thank you very much for joining us. I have a text here from a listener who says, I've struggled to decide what to spend my €3.67 a week on. And when we're talking about lump sums, many people won't see them, won't feel them, because they will be gone already. And that's the nature of the cost of living crisis that we're living through. Now, Liz Truss did another interview today. We'll hear a bit of that after this.